Right on up here, and we've got to know Martin over the years that we've been visiting the Czech Republic and different occasions to do that, and we've enjoyed his fellowship and friendship, and our brother is a faithful servant of the Lord, and we were very happy, come on up here my friend, very happy that he could come over to this side of the Atlantic. He's never traveled over here before, and to go down to the Congress in Malvern, Pennsylvania last week. That was a blessing for us to have fellowship with him, and I think it was a good encouragement to you as well, brother. So you're welcome here tonight. The Lord bless you as you share with us.
Well, I would like to give special thanks to Dr. Saunders for his kind invitation. It is a great privilege and joy for me to be here in North America and having a very blessed fellowship with God's people over here and with many of them for the first time. I keep telling people in the beginning of my testimony that having me as a speaker is in some sense very special occasion, because it is not very often that people can have a speaker who can boldly compare himself to Moses, and I am, because just like Moses, I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue, as you have surely noticed. So please bear with me. I'm very much aware that I'm like Moses only in this respect, and in all other respects, I fall short of him. I'm very much aware of that. In the beginning, I would like to read one verse that captures very well what my testimony is about. It's a very well known verse, Jeremiah 6:16. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. I have been a part of Mr. Schultz's ministry for 6 years now, but I have been saved before. I was born into a Christian family, and I have been attending a Baptist church, which would be quite conservative for the standards of our land, but it was still a branch of contemporary Christianity with all the issues. But I have been taught the gospel. I have been taught that the Lord Jesus is Savior, the only Savior, and that I am a sinner who deserves to go to hell. But despite that, I was not serious about things of eternity. I really wanted to live for myself. But when I was 14, my older sister was killed in a car accident. We were returning home from a youth group meeting, and we were crossing the street, and there was a speeding drunken driver who hit her, and she died the next day. And I was there. I have seen that on my own eyes. And that was a great shock for me. And I was very intensively confronted with my own mortality and the state of my soul. And I knew at that time, I was sure that if I died at the time, I would go to hell. And so I began to call upon the Lord to save me, and he did in his great mercy. And it is my great shame that I would not listen to the word of God, to calling of God before. You know, the Lord has been confronting me about the state of my soul even before, but I was postponing it. I thought that it could be done later, and I didn't want to submit myself to the Lord. And as I said, it is a great shame that the Lord had to use such severe measures to bring me to him. And I was thinking even about some young people over here that are maybe not saved. I don't know who that might be. I don't know how is it with you, but the Lord knows, and I'm sure that you know as well. And I was really thinking, and I would like to lay it upon your heart. Call upon the Lord while yet he still speaks with still small voice. Don't let things go as far as I did. Why won't you listen? Why don't in a sense force the Lord? I said it with great reverence, to use such measures with you as he had to use with me. Call upon the Lord now. Now is the day of salvation. And you know, it is still great mercy that the Lord did not cease to strive with me, because he could have left me in my obstinacy, and that would be far worse than what happened. But in his mercy, the Lord didn't left me to myself, and I am very grateful to him for that. And you know, this is very true, not only in my salvation, but also in my joining of the Free Church. As I said, our church was really a branch of contemporary Christianity with all the issues, and that was one of the reasons why I didn't make much progress in my teenage years, much spiritual progress in my teenage years. And but I became more serious about the Lord's things, about the Lord's service, when I turned the age of 20. And at that time I became involved in the leadership of our youth group, along with another young man. And at that time our Baptist union declined rapidly, and our elders decided that they must do something about it. They must fight those bad tendencies. And because I had very good relationship with them, I was to a degree involved in the fight. And it was at that time when I was introduced to Mr. Schultz by his father. His father is a retired Baptist minister, and I knew him quite well. So he introduced us, and Mr. Schultz spoke to me about the issues of contemporary Christianity and worldliness in the church, especially in the area of music, so-called contemporary Christian music or CCM. And he was pointing how the church is following the world two steps behind, and in time people will get used to and will accept accept things that were shameful even in the world 50 years ago. And he really pointed at me to consider the beautiful heritage of the old hymns, and I could really see that he is not saying these things just because he likes the old hymns, you know, that he's just a traditional man, but I could very clearly see that he is convinced from the Bible. He is saying that because he knows it from the Bible. I did not see his reasons, but it was very clear to me. That man speaks of biblical conviction, so the Lord used that to convince me to investigate the issue for myself, and through continuing contact with him, I also started investigating other issues like modern Bible versions or the issue of charismatic gifts and other things. Our elders, they hoped Mr. Schultz would help them in their fight within the Baptist Union, but they were not willing to admit how far even we, even our Baptist congregation, was far away from the true biblical position. They didn't want to reject CCM as such. They wanted to maintain a middle ground. You know, well, we are against some of the more extreme stuff, but we just want to keep the mild stuff. But by the Lord's grace, I became convinced that it must be rejected altogether. Everything. You can't keep even a bit of that. Eventually I saw that our elders' attempts of reform are futile because they wouldn't go far enough. And eventually, through the ministry of Reverend Ivan Foster, who visited us at the time, I decided to join Mr. Schultz's ministry. I could give you a lot more details, but right now I just want to stress out what a blessing it was for me to join the Free Church and to learn about the old paths, to learn about the Puritans, to learn about this wonderful heritage we have. You know, my story is not about something I did for the Lord. No, my story is about what the Lord did for me. There was so much confusion in my life about the Lord's things, you know, because that's really what contemporary Christianity is. One word, confusion, that sums it up quite well. But when I was introduced to the old paths, my eyes were opened and everything started to make sense. I got much better grasp of the gospel itself, and I truly found rest for my soul in the old paths, where is the good way. And that's why I reject CCM and all those contemporary attempts altogether. There is no blessing in it. You know, people today think that having a such strong position, and especially having strong position against CCM, is legalistic. But I tell you, what really breeds legalism is CCM. That might surprise you, but it is true. It's the I would call it a legalism of sincerity, you know, because I know from experience, we were singing all those modern choruses and we would felt so sincere, you know, and therefore we thought that our praise is accepted by God because we are sincere. But this is not why our praise is accepted by God. Yes, I know we must be sincere, I'm not saying that, but it's far from enough. Well, I oftentimes remind myself what John Bunyan said, the best prayer I ever prayed had enough sin to damn the whole world. You know, and that applies to all our services. Everything we do, even the best efforts we may produce, is so tainted with sin that in itself it cannot be accepted by God. It can only be accepted in Christ and for his sake. But that sentiment was completely missing with us. I had no concept of that, no idea of that, because CCM weaned us from it. I believe, and I'm convinced that it was the result of us using CCM. You know, Albert Barnes wrote in his commentary to Colossians 3:16, "He who is permitted to make the hymns of a church will more effectually mold the sentiments of a church than they who preach or make creeds and confessions." And I believe this is very true. I have seen it. You know, I have tried to explain my new positions to some of the young people in my former church, but it was like hitting a brick wall of bricks. You know, they simply could not understand it. It was like a foreign language to them, because their mind was simply trained to think in a completely different way. So, from what I have seen, if we go after CCM, after contemporary Christianity, we will lose out with God. You know, the end of it will be confusion, low view of God, and losing proper sight of Christ. And let us all be warned. We all need to take this to our hearts, you know. And I am very much thankful to God that he showed me this, because I did not find that out by my own smartness. No. If the Lord didn't show me, I would be completely in darkness about these things. So may his name be glorified for all this, for all he has done for me. Amen.
Thank you, Martin, for sharing with us your testimony and what the Lord has done in your heart. We're going to sing, please, number 371, as we take up the offering for the Lord's work here now. And remain seated, please, while we sing 371. Verses 3 and 4. seated. Well, it's a joy again to welcome our brother Milos Scholtz to the pulpit, and he's going to share with us now something of the prayer requests and of the blessings and thoughts about the ministry in the Czech Republic just now, brother Scholtz.
Once again, I am very privileged and thankful to stand before you, the Lord's people, in this corner of the Lord's vineyard. I want to thank everyone for the generosity and kindness and hospitality that you have all shown unto us. We have been visiting various people, and it has been a great joy to have fellowship, renew our fellowship in the Lord, and we thank especially the Saunderses for keeping us, putting up with us for the time we have been here, and again for their kindness. May the Lord bless it richly unto them and unto you. And we continue to pray for this work, for this church, for the eldership, for the deacons, the leadership, and for each one of you. We pray that the Lord would continue to work in the midst of his people. I also bring greetings from our congregation, our little flock, across the Atlantic in the middle of Europe, in a country of about 10.5 million people. We are 1 hour north of Prague, and the Lord has placed us in his providence in that region. We have been there now for 10 years, and it is hard to believe. I think those of you who know us from before, 11 years, I ministered and worked at the school here. For those of you who knew us from back then, it probably doesn't seem like 10 years, but that is how long we have been there and how quickly time passes. So we're conscious of the brevity of our life, and the Lord has continued to impress on our minds that we would in all things seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I have another verse that has been very much on our mind is from Deuteronomy 32, where the Lord's word says in verse 29, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." It is a plea to people, to God's people, and to each one, that we would think of eternity, our latter end. Oh, that we would be wise. Oh, that we would understand this. May the Lord help us to understand what that means, how that affects everything in your life. And we fall so short of that, often distracted, and we are maybe weighed down by various circumstances, and many times it is legitimate. We should be burdened and weighed down, but other things, things of the here and now that are not that important, and we take our eyes off the Lord, his things. May the Lord help us to keep our eyes on him and think of these things of eternity, the things of God, the things of the kingdom of heaven. The Lord sent us to this people in the Czech Republic to be watchmen unto Israel and give warning from God. That was our call from Ezekiel 3, the whole portion of Scripture. The Lord also promised to make our faces hard against their faces and our foreheads hard against their foreheads, to sustain us in that. It is not easy to continue to be in various battles. Some Christians don't seem to be in any battles, and they have this wishful thinking that they will just go on and their life will be a life of ease, I suppose. But that is not the life of a Christian. The life of a Christian is the life of a soldier, the life of one who wars, first of all, against his own flesh, mortifying the deeds of the flesh by the Spirit of God. Believer, you have to do that every day, looking unto the Lord and seeking his help personally to overcome temptation, the devil who would like to trip us and drag us down and tarnish and spoil the Lord's work. And as you look at even the history of the church, there's been various spoiling when various men and women have taken their eyes off the Lord. May the Lord help us to be faithful. Just recently, there's been a promise given to me, a wonderful verse. We had some difficult situations we had to deal with not too long before we came here. And the reading for that day was this. That's also from Deuteronomy 33, verse 25. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. That's a promise of God. And the Lord, if we look to him, will sustain us for as long as he has us here. As our days, so shall our strength be. There is none like unto the God of Israel. Happy art thou, Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord. What great words. What mighty words from the holy word of God. Happy art thou, Israel. Are you happy today? There have been many difficulties and challenges in this church, in the denomination. But again, I say that is not to be a surprise. We are, as we continue on, in a daily battle. We are to be sober and vigilant and steadfast in the faith. We are to take the armor of God. Why armor? Because there is a battle. And we go forward in the Lord's strength, in our shield and defender. Happy art thou, Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. Well, that is my testimony, and I believe the testimony of every true believer. We are happy in the Lord. The Lord has done great things for us. I'd like to share a few things, some recent prayer requests. We have had various encouragements as well, and the Lord keeps us going. As you know, I believe you know, some 9 months ago, the Lord saved one of the women we have known for quite some time. I will just take you back a few years, 9 years, actually. Our son Levi is 8.5 years old. When my wife was expecting him, she had some severe back problems, wasn't sure what it was, and so went to the doctor. It was bad enough that she needed to go to the doctor, and the doctor recommended some physiotherapy. And the physiotherapist was this woman by the name of Yarmila. That was our first meeting, or my wife's first meeting with her, 9 years ago. Almost 9 years later. That's how long it took. The Lord saved her. She had a child. I think it was one of the things that started to weigh down on her in terms of how to bring the girl up. She started to come more often because for many years she would just come the odd time. And then she started to come very regularly. And in the Lord's own time, it was all brought to a head. I knew it was one of those situations where I believe the Lord would either save her or she would go her own way. And in God's mercy, the Lord broke her that evening. It was in the middle of November. And she desired to be saved. Now she attends all the meetings. She had another little girl. There are two girls, a five-year-old and a two-year-old. Comes to the prayer meeting, to both services, and is reading her Bible. She has made great progress in a short time, but I ask you that you would pray for her. Her husband is unsaved, and she's in a very difficult situation. Her parents are very much against her, and they discourage her going to the services, discourage her taking her children, and all of these things. But she has been faithful, and she has been encouraged in the Lord's things. So we are delighted in how she has gone on with the Lord. And as I say, the spiritual progress that she has made, it is quite amazing how she prays now, how the Lord has helped her, and with what maturity she is praying in the prayer meeting. So we are very thankful for this fruit in her life. And we, of course, remember our sister Yana continued to pray for her. She now has three children. And we are also very thankful that the Lord continues to work on the heart of her husband. He's not saved, but it is a great example of a saved wife sanctifying her husband. There is this holy influence, and there has been much change in his life, even though he is not saved. Now, that is not going to help any man. It is nice to benefit from the blessings of knowing God's people and having an awareness of God's word. But if it remains in a position of just consideration or thinking upon these things, it will not be good enough. You must cry unto the Lord and commit your life to him. And so we pray for this man, her husband, who is, though, more and more open to a relationship with God's people, and I believe more and more he takes a blessing from it. We had a bit of an outing together during the winter months, which was near their house, right by their house, and then we had the prayer meeting in their home. Because normally we would have it in our home, but because of that we had the midweek meeting in their home. It was arranged that way. And we had some refreshments before the prayer meeting together, and then we had a time over God's word and in prayer. He was very comfortable and glad to be with God's people, and then he stayed for the prayer meeting. And so these are things, these are steps forward, and we ask thee for prayer for this man. It has also been an encouragement in the last few months that several times Yarmila, this is the other lady, has been able to bring her father to the meeting. Now, it's more of a complicated situation because the father that she really knew growing up was really her stepfather and her mother. But this man is her real father, and he was an alcoholic. It was a very sad situation in her own life and childhood and youth. The family was broken then, and yet she has maintained some sort of a relationship. And her father almost died a few months ago. He was in hospital because of the abuse his body has taken over the years from alcohol. But he came to the meeting maybe a month and a half ago or 2 months ago for the first time, and he was very attentive to the Lord's word. I was so thankful for that because he was literally sitting on the edge of his chair. And then we spoke together. Then he spoke to his daughter, and she relayed some information to us later, how he found it very, very, found it different than he expected. And he came again. The last time he came, he said, we were there with Brother Martin, and he was speaking, and he said he realizes he doesn't have much time. Well, he heard the gospel very plainly. I talked with him personally. But the Lord needs to move in his heart to take that step of faith and put his trust in the Lord for his salvation. So pray for this man. This is the father of our sister Yarmila. Then just recently, really, it was the last week before we came here, a very big encouragement over many years of discouragement and difficulties with these people. It is our next door neighbor. We live in the country, and this man has had a very bad reputation. When we moved to this area, we were warned about him, and he's a rough character with a very speckled past, and he has kept his distance. Here and there, we made some strides forward, but then there were always some steps back, and there were a few times he exploded outside in frustration for no reason. He was just weighed down by our testimony. I can say that because there was nothing else. It was one of the strangest things when, just out of the blue, a year and a half ago, I think I maybe mentioned this here before, we met outside. He was doing some work, raking leaves, I think, and I was across the road just going into the garage, and he just yelled out for no reason. How can you live like this? And I don't want to be yelling into this microphone. How can you live like this? There is no God. There is no God. Now, that was a situation where we didn't talk for several weeks, and there was no hello, nothing. He just yelled out like this, and he went on for maybe 5 minutes without taking a breath. And then when he ran out of breath, I said to him, there is a God. And so then he went on another rant for another 5 minutes. Then he was really getting tired, and he started to wind down, and the whole conversation was maybe a half hour, because then the Lord allowed me to speak with him and open the door to speak with him. But there have been a few situations like this in the past. And just a week before we went, the Lord opened the door for my wife to minister to his wife, where this man opened up just on an occasion where my wife was outside. He saw her at a bit of a distance. They started talking, and he opened up about the fact that his wife has cancer. She's about 60 years old, and that everything they have is good for nothing now, and started to say these things, and my wife was able to speak with him a bit, and then later asked him if she could visit her. Well, he said yes. And for 1 week, just before we came here, she was going there every day, reading for about an hour, speaking with her. I should say the first day that she went, and it was midday, the man wasn't supposed to be home, but he came just at that time. He came in, and it was already like going into the lion's den for my wife. But then this man came. She didn't expect that, and he sat in. He wanted to sit and just see what this was all about. And so my wife looked to the Lord, and the Lord helped her to minister to the woman. She was there for an hour, and then she came back every day. During the midweek, she asked her if she would like to come to the church service in our home. That was 2 days before we left. We came on Friday. On Wednesday, And she said yes, and she came. She came to the service. She was there, and she was there right through all the prayers. She was there for maybe an hour and a half or more. And we just thought, well, I wonder if my wife will be welcome the next day. But she was looking forward to seeing her the next day. And so we're very thankful for that. And if you'd pray for this lady, it's our neighbor, and that her heart would not go cold, even in the time that we have been away. Pray for her and for her husband, and we are thankful that the Lord is giving us strength and help, even in the ministry to these sorts of people, some very rough people. I could go on and say, please also pray for another set of neighbors, a young couple, who have come to a service before, and it's some time back now, about a year ago. And then they came to another outing that we organized, invited some neighbors in. They came for that, but they are really resisting the Lord's things, and they don't really open up too much. But they're friendly, and we pray for them that the Lord would open their hearts. But it is sometimes a very long process. We've been there for 10 years, and these people, our next-door neighbors, it has taken that whole time up until the last couple of days before we went here that lady came to our home. 10 years. But all things are in God's hands, and we're thankful for this light and hope in this relationship. Also pray for our children. I ask you for prayers for them, that they would be God's ministers, missionaries, servants, wherever they are. And we're thankful for what the Lord is doing in their hearts. We pray that the Lord would use them. I'll just give you this one word of encouragement from something recent that happened in the life of Timothy. He's our middle son. He's middle child. 17. He's 17, and he, for the first year, has been in high school, which is about 10 kilometers away from our home. A great field of ministry, and the Lord has given him a boldness to proclaim his things. I'm very thankful for that, because I laid it on his heart when he was going there, that he would be a strong witness for the Lord. And the Lord has given him a boldness for his things, and I pray that the Lord would continue to work in his life. When we had our Pastor Saunders over with us in April, he invited some of his classmates to the church services, and these are some fellows that are really quite a bit bigger than he is. He's getting bigger. He's a fairly big boy, but there's some very big boys in his class. And so he looks a couple of years younger than they. I say that because it was quite humorous. They have a great respect for him. It's amazing what the Lord can do. And so he invited a couple of these fellows several times, but they didn't come. So he came Monday to school and says to one of them, and I can't remember his name, but let's say it's John. He said, "So, John, where were you on the Lord's Day?" "Well, I was tired, Tim. I was tired. "All right, you were tired. I suppose that's not going to help you when you stand before the Lord." "Well, I suppose you're right. That won't help me." That's what he said. He replied. So I said to Tim, "You said that to him?" "Yeah." I said, "Good. You keep saying that to him and to them." And so pray for him. Pray for Milosh and Abigail. They're in university, and Mickey's working as well. He's a very good job, and he's witnessed his colleagues there. And so the seed has been sown, and hundreds over the years have heard the gospel, and we pray that the Lord in his own time would save some of these souls and bring them into his fold, and that they would rejoice even as we rejoice. Happy art thou, Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. May the Lord bless these words about the ministry in the Czech Republic, and thank you again for your prayers and for your support. And you can be assured as well of our prayers for you in this corner of the Lord's vineyard. Blessed be his name. Amen.
Thank you again, Brother Schultz, for sharing with us, and many things to pray for there regarding that work, and I would ask you please to do that with all your heart. This is a sad service in many ways, and one of them has to do, well, not many ways, one way, only one way, and that is because our sister Pat. This is going to be Pat Mills' last Lord's Day with us here in our church officially before she moves overseas to go back to her native land of Northern Ireland. And we had a time not too many weeks ago where we made a presentation to our sister, giving thanks to her for her faithfulness in the work of God here. And we certainly commit her to the Lord. And one request that she had before she goes is that we would sing a song, and it's one that you do not know. And so I'm going to sing for you the first three verses of this, and then what I'd like us to do as a congregation to sing the third verse. So we'll repeat the third verse. And it's a song that has to do with simply presenting the Lord Jesus, who he is and what he has done. And as we, as servants of the Lord, do just that, we present him and his life to people. And the purpose and the heart is that they would come to know him, and those of us who know him would know him better. So please listen to these words. I present to you Jesus. He's the Son of the Highest. He created the heavens, put the worlds into space, put the stars into places, shaped the mountains and valleys, then made man for his glory. He's the God of all grace. But the evil one tempted, we were trapped by his cunning. We were helpless before him, with no power to defend. But our Maker remembered that from dust he had made us, and he came to our the sinner's friend. I present to you Jesus. Though we sinned, yet he loved us, laid aside all his glory, up in heaven above. He was born of a virgin, went to Calvary's his life for our ransom. It was infinite love, but the grave could not hold him, for his power is almighty. Even death there he conquered, by his power so divine. Then he rose up triumphant, and ascended to heaven. But again he is coming, and with glory he'll shine.
I present you to Jesus, if you'll only accept him. He'll forgive your transgressions, write your name up above. He will share all your burdens, be your constant companion. He will light up
with me for a few moments to the book of Numbers, chapter 6. I know our time has gone, but I do ask your attention for just a short few moments. Numbers, chapter 6, verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We have in these well-known words what we could call the doxology of the Old Testament. They are well known to anyone who has been involved in a child dedication in this church. We often quote those words at the end. But not only in that circumstance, there are numerous times when this Old Testament doxology, benediction, has brought comfort to the people of God. These are special words indeed, because God gave them to his people. One commentator said, No prayer more exquisite, more impressive, more comprehensive can be found in the Old or New Testament. It is indeed the Lord's prayer. One commentator said, This is an inspired formula to pray for blessing upon yourself and upon other people. I want you to notice, please, that this prayer has been commanded by God. We're told that he said to Moses, that he was to speak to Aaron and unto his sons in verse 23, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel. And when we're confronted with these precious words, they are given to us directly from the Lord. Now we believe that the Bible is God's inspired, inerrant, and infallible truth. But my dear friends, when we come to these words so specifically spoken and given and commanded by the Lord, Well, it's cause for us to pay, I would say, special attention unto them. You know, the Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 6 said of Abraham, when God spoke to him, he said, God could swear by no greater. And therefore he swore by himself, saying, in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. And my dear friends, when we have these words tonight, I exhort you, I encourage you to take this blessing that was commanded by God to your own heart. But not only that, it was something that was composed directly from the heart, the mind of our great and eternal Lord. You will have already noticed that there are three stanzas, we could say, three phrases in this blessing. And each one of them starts with the Lord. And we see the Lord is in capital letters, which we know ourselves, it is Jehovah, the covenant-making and covenant-keeping God. And as we have three of these statements being made, is there not a hint for us, an indication perhaps of the Trinity, of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? And when you compare this to the doxologies and benedictions that are given to us in the New Testament, very clearly there is also a threefold division. So when we see that, we notice then it's the Father who is speaking to begin with. It says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. Is this not, my dear friends, something that we can draw of the great providential oversight and love of our Father toward us? As our Father is saying, I will bless you and I will keep you, we have and know that God has in eternity called out a people unto Himself. And as God, by His sovereign purpose and hand, has called out a people, what does He say He will do for those people? I will bless them, and I will keep them, for they are mine by covenant. They are mine by decree, and I own and I will redeem them. My dear friend, tonight, this is God's blessing upon us. If you know Him tonight, if you are saved by the grace of God, then you will know that it is the living God who has set His hand upon you from before you were born. For He has made a covenant with His only begotten Son, giving Him a people. God is the one who has composed this. And the Father has loved us with an everlasting love. But we also have here, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 25. It says, the Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. What happens when the face of God shines upon a person? Why, my friend, you have illumination, you have light. And when the face of the Lord Jesus was turned toward us, then we had the gift of everlasting life. Because as He looks upon us, He looks upon us with eyesight of love. And His hands and His arms are open to receive us. And if you tonight have been brought out of your darkness and into the light of the forgiveness of sins, then tonight you have everlasting life. Tonight you can say, the face of my Savior has shone upon my heart in the darkness of my sin and despair, and he's brought me into the light of liberty, of the sons and daughters of God. And we possess this tonight because we belong to him now and he belongs to us. The Lord make his face shine upon you, my friend, tonight. If you are out of the Lord, if you don't know him, then I exhort you, I plead with you, I stand in the Savior's place tonight to say, come to him. Call upon the name of the living God. For the Lord Jesus is our great Savior. One commentator said, this blessing promises the shining of his face, not for a brief day, but the full blaze of concentrated love. Have we received this from him? Oh, yes, we have, the Father and the Son. But the Holy Spirit, I believe, is here as well in verse 26. For we're told that the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Do you know that the word shine and the word countenance, they are the same words? So when it says the Lord make his face to shine, the word face and the word countenance are exactly the same word in Hebrew. But our translators put a different word in the flow of the translation. So the face of Christ shines upon us, and that is a blessing that we have received in salvation. But my friend, the face of the Spirit of God also illuminates us in our Christian life, illuminates us on the path we have to go. He gives us light and hope, not just for time, but my dear friend, for all eternity. God has commanded this blessing. The Lord is the one who has composed it. Ah, but the Lord also is the one who concludes it. Because the final verse in verse 27, he says, I will bless them. The certainty that God is going to fulfill what he has promised is ours by right, because we are his by covenant. And oh, my dear friend, tonight, take this blessing upon your own life. Take this blessing upon your family. Pray this blessing over our congregation. Pray it over the work of God that we are involved in. Because when we see the Lord Jesus, and we see that he is the center and the purpose of all that we are about, we want to share that love and that light as far and as wide as we can in our workplaces, where you meet people that I will never meet, in the place of interaction that I have that you will never come, in the community where we spread the gospel by written form and by personal communication, and all of the means that God has given to us. My dear friends, let us go forward with this blessing that is the light that goes in front and the blessing in the shadow that will be over us. And this is what we, as a congregation, we would pray for our sister Pat as she takes her leave from us, that the Lord would go before her and the Lord would bless her. This is what we pray for the Schultz family as they return back to their work. Not easy work, a hard work. But that the Lord will bless them and make his face to shine upon their path. And that he will multiply them. He will save that lady across the street and her husband. What a great trophy of grace that family will be when they come to know him, whom to know is life everlasting. In this blessing, we present to you, Jesus. And we pray that he will be full in our eyes, in our life, in our minds, and that we will walk daily with him. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, we do give thanks for this time tonight, for this time of hearing of what has been happening in the lives of people, helping us to pray more effectively for missionary works, mission fields, for our brothers and sisters. We hold all of them up earnestly to thee in prayer. We ask, dear God, to go before Milosz, Martina, and Levi and their family, to go with our brother Martin. Lord, we pray for Pat tonight, that she would have great peace in her heart, that she would know the Savior going before her. Lord, hear this, our prayer. Help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing one hymn now in closing. Number 632, God is the treasure of my soul. And this hymn has been a favorite of our sister Pat's for many years. And so let's please stand, and we will sing verses 1, 3, and 5 of 632. Brother James, would you please come and just dismiss us now with a word of prayer.
Lord our God, as we bow before thee, thou art the infinite, the unsearchable, and the God that does not change. Lord, we pray for thy blessing upon thy word today. We thank thee, Lord, for the various ways in which thy word has gone forth from this pulpit. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless the ministry of thy word. And Lord, as we were hearing in the testimony of a brother, Martin, about his sister that was so tragically taken to eternity in a moment, that we would realize, Lord, that we don't know what a day will bring forth, and that there is such uncertainty with regard to what may happen tomorrow. And Lord, if we do not know thee, if we do not have thee as our Lord and Savior, we're lost. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst mix thy word of faith in our hearts. and cause that thy truth might be blessed to each one of our souls. And now, Lord, we pray that thy blessing would be with us, and that thou wouldst cause that each one of our lives might be shining examples of the Savior in the coming week. Bless us, we pray. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the blessing of God the Holy Spirit rest upon and remain with each one of us, both now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you.